I'm Ellen, and you're listening to The Curvy Pod. My mission is to share conversations with entrepreneurial-spirited women and discuss how they break through barriers to live above the curve and create meaning in their life.
I'm excited to introduce you to this week's guest, Karen Vaughn. Karen founded the Vaughn Bar in 1995. It started as an antique shop with coffee service, but guided by friends in the small matter of high rent, transformed into a trend-setting night spot, and ultimately into the neighborhood fixture it is today. As it grew, Vaughn helped to reinvigorate the neighborhood and will always be remembered as a pioneering NoHo Bowery business. She holds a master's degree in medieval literature and is an amateur writer and historian. Karen is an elected official for Assembly District 66 of New York. She is a member of the NoHo Bowery Stakeholders, the NoHo Alliance, and sponsor of ACE for Homeless. She has coordinated innumerable fundraising events at Vaughn for not-for-profit organizations such as Project PET, UNICEF, Solar Salon, and Steps to End Family Violence, among others. She also incidentally made Vogue's best dress list a few years back. But since then, she hardly dresses up at all, preferring the simpler art of sweatpants.
Me too.
All of us do, I think. We recorded this interview the week before New York City started its shelter in place, but luckily you can still get drinks to go at Vaughn Bar. Check out their Instagram at Vaughn Bar NYC for more information.
Woohoo! At Vaughn Bar NYC. Let's go. Let's get those drinks.
Get them drinks.
Does it open up this early? It's 11 a.m.
I think maybe in an hour.
Okay, let's jump right in.
Okay.
We have Karen Vaughn here today, and she's going to give us a little bit of her highlight reel and tell us how she got to where she is today.
Hi. All right. Got to where I am today.
Here in our house.
Here in your house. I took this 6 train. No, just kidding.
You walked?
I took the train. And walked. But to my professional life, completely by accident. It was never my intention. I guess I never really had a plan. You know, when I was younger, I had a plan. I had a dream. Right? I had a big dream. And, you know, it didn't really work out.
What was the dream?
So my dream I went to Sarah Lawrence and I wanted to write. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a novelist. And I had all these ideas and I was writing plays. But I had no confidence. And I had no community. I mean, yes, I had community at Sarah Lawrence, but I never really, you know, took advantage because I was a very sort of shy and insecure person. And the life of a writer, I think you have to be a little tougher. I wasn't tough. So I wanted to build a community, and I really liked, like, hanging out and drinking tea. So I thought, I'm going to open, like, a cafe. And that'll give me the opportunity to spend all my downtime there at the cafe writing. The only work I'd ever done had been, you know, in cafes. It's like a waitress, or I worked at the cafe at Sarah Lawrence, the midnight shift, and it was fun. It was the one time when I was there when I really felt like I belonged, you know, like I belonged there. So, yeah, I thought I'd open it. I don't come from a long line of entrepreneurs. I don't come from a restaurant family, none of that. But I just really thought, I'll do this cafe. And I also had a very deep-rooted terror of a normal life, mm-hmm. like a job. I was terrified of a job.
Like a 9-to-5 job?
Like a 9-to-5 job. You know, mainly because I grew up with a single mom, and so it was just my mom and my brother and myself. And my mom had a 9-to-5 job. She was a secretary. She left school because she was pregnant before she graduated, and she had to, you know, scrape by. And she was very unhappy. And I saw her struggle, and it really deeply affected me. So, you know, I saw her having to go into work the day my grandmother died. We got a call at 4 in the morning, and at 7, she had to go to work. And I was like, oh, what? You know, like, they wouldn't give her the day off. So those kinds of things scared me. I also, because of my background, because my mother was from Central Maine, a very kind of poor, I don't want to say backward, but so I didn't really see the opportunities that exist for most people. You know, I didn't see the opportunity, like, you could go to law school, or you could go to medical school, or whatever. I heard from my family and my teachers, you can be a teacher.
Right.
That's all I ever heard. And I don't know if that's, you know, my generation, because we're women. It seemed to be the only thing available to me. And in my little preteen or teenager mind, it seemed to be all that I could accomplish. And it just did not interest me at all. I spent a lot of time babysitting when I was little, and I, you know, I loved the kids that I would hang out with, but I didn't want to spend my life surrounded by kids. I wanted, you know, I wanted an adult life. Of course, that changed when I had a kid. I was like, oh my God, I love this kid. But when I was younger, I really, I wanted an adult life.
That really kind of brings us to the first question.
Yeah, it does.
So
the first question is, when do you recall when you had the spark of an idea that became a passion, and was there a specific moment when you decided your passion was worth following? So maybe you knew you wanted to be a writer.
Yeah.
And you knew you wanted to have a cafe to have that social being. You were pulling these things together.
Yes.
And that moment, you're like, okay, I'm going to do it.
So I think that moment, I think it came because of a place. I was working in a cafe, this is right after college, unhappy, thinking about this idea, how I can, like, make the life I want. And I used to spend a lot of time, like, walking around the city, checking things. I don't know, just, you know.
Being nosy,
just being curious.
Yeah.
And I walked by an empty storefront, and I looked inside, and I felt really drawn to it. There's something about it, something that seemed juicy, seemed interesting. It had a pressed tin ceiling. I remember that. I thought, that's cool. You know, like, I hadn't seen that kind of ceiling before. And I just, like, sort of on a whim, called the number on the storefront. I went to Little Italy to meet the landlord. He said, this is what it costs. You got a check? And I was like, yeah, I got a check. I can do this. And I had asked my father for a loan, and he said yes.
Wow.
And yeah, that was really an amazing, that was lucky. And so Joe, the landlord, he didn't do a credit check. We just talked, and he was like, okay, kid, I'm gonna take a shot with you. I'm gonna give you a lease. And I was like, great. So I wrote him a check, and I had a little money, and my brother is a carpenter. So I put him to work sort of building a beautiful space. And we did that. And then we very soon realized, you know, the rest of the story is we realized, holy crap, no one is going to buy a tea or a scone or sit quietly in this neighborhood, like right on the Bowery. Holy crap, we better rethink this. After we had signed the lease, after we put all our money into the construction. And so we rethought it and got a beer and wine license. And that's how it began. I never wanted a bar. I don't even drink. But so that's how it started. And over the years, I've become just sort of more and more interested in community, how people meet, how to make that more interesting, what we're drinking, how we're drinking. Cocktails are interesting to me. I have my own line of mixers now.
Cool.
That are actually tea-based mixers. I'm sort of bringing it, you know, full circle.
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
So clearly things had been circulating in your mind. Like, you knew, even though you had all this patterning towards certain careers or certain ways to live in regards to your options, there was something within you that was bigger than you that said, like, that's not for me.
They said, no, hell no.
Yeah, that's not for me. And when you decided to sign the lease and things were still going kind of in your favor, was there fear?
At the time, no. The fear came after.
Right.
Like, there was a moment when I realized, oh, no one's going to come in here. This was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
And but then I adjusted.
Well, how did the fear, what did the fear feel like in your body? If you had to describe the fear.
At the time, oh God, that's a hard question. It was so long ago. This is 1995.
Right.
So, what did the fear feel
like? Like, do you have symptoms like heartbeats or thoughts or...
Hard to breathe.
Gosh, you know, I want to restate it. Yeah. I wasn't really afraid at the time. Mm-hmm. I was young and I was like a kind of fearless and rebellious. I didn't feel afraid. I just looked for a solution. Fear has come up a lot since then because of other obstacles.
Right. But there's definitely a power in sort of that blind belief when we're younger.
Exactly.
And how do we keep that going as we're older? Because it does work out if we just simply keep in that mind state of solutions.
Yes. Yeah.
My patterning has changed as I've gotten older. Yeah. I feel less like, I can do this.
Less bold.
Yeah, less bold.
Yeah, more tired.
More tired. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent a lot of time awake. Mm-hmm. In my early 20s.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep a lot.
Yeah, that was nice back then.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And the fear that you have now, is it that you can't do what you want to do, or things won't work out, or there'll be,
things will fall apart. It's mainly that kind of catastrophic, like, you know, with this business, that you know, that come these risks.
Right.
It's a public space, and I've faced some very trying situations.
Right.
And audits. Right. Lawsuits.
Oh, what are the tools that you use for yourself to get through some of those really difficult times? Especially
I'm
if you don't drink.
I'm shocked that I get through them. I'm really surprised. I have a lot of tools to handle like other people's problems. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like a rock if you need me. I'm like a rock. But for my own problems...
Well, from an outsider, I'm noticing that you have a very... You do have a very calming energy, whether it's internal, I don't know. But, and also, I'm noticing that you're tending to take a breath before you speak and like, when it matters.
Right.
So that is a tool. Like, instead of, like, just being so rash about your... You're really being thoughtful.
I'm a thoughtful person.
So that's a tool that maybe you don't have to work on.
Yeah.
Maybe. But it comes inherently to you.
Yeah,
that's one
possible.
I see.
That's probably why you can come up with lots of solutions.
Maybe.
You take a moment, take a breath, think about it before you speak.
I take a lot of moments.
Maybe that's
my tool.
But it might come naturally to you. And we talk about that a lot. Like, some people have to build those skills.
It's interesting.
And some people have them naturally.
Yeah, I hyperventilate, fall on the floor.
Yeah.
And then go, okay, now I'm ready.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I contrast myself, compare contrast to my husband, who is born in Sicily, raised in Rome. He's very, you know, stress happens. There's yelling, a lot of yelling, anger, lots of bad Italian words. Yeah, I don't have that.
What happens when he does that? Do you have a reaction to him doing that, or empathy to that, or just go deal with it?
I just sort of back away. You're freaking out. Gonna go over here.
Yeah.
So I think I do have a sort of not that I don't panic, but I keep my panic inward.
Right.
Which may be actually more destructive. I don't know.
But it feels like you have a way to protect your space. You're not as penetrable as some. Like, if there's a tantrum around me, I tend to sometimes take it on, and that's I'm working on that, keeping my space.
Yeah.
Let someone have their moment.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be mine.
It doesn't. Yeah. I like to back up a lot.
Yeah.
What does success mean to you?
It just means happiness. I just want to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and rich.
When you were younger, starting this business, did success mean something different to you then?
I mean, success when I was younger was very specific, and it was very much to do with how other people perceived me, with sort of contracts and deadlines and agents and people and, you know, readings and a story in the New Yorker.
Yes.
You know, it was very specific.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah.
About success.
Do you feel you're successful right now?
I'm successful in that, I am happy.
Mm-hmm.
I love my life. I really love my life.
Yeah. That sounds
Yeah.
like major success.
I'm really lucky. I'm a really lucky person, and I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe a perfect day in 3 words?
Sun, sea, family.
Oh.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, those are the, right?
Yeah, yep. I love that.
3 best things. And my little dog.
Yeah.
I'm including him.
Aww.
In family.
In
family.
Yeah.
That includes the
absolutely. That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have a current favorite indulgence?
Coffee.
I love coffee too.
Yeah. I love coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm so lucky I never tried like meth and stuff. I would be such a junkie. Because I am very calm sort of by nature. And so when I indulge, it's always in a kind of a speedy kind of high. You know, it's coffee,
yeah.
Sugar, like a really... I want a little rush.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's why it's a good thing I never, like, cooked meth. I don't even know how do you smoke it. I don't know.
I don't know.
I should not ever know that.
Yeah. The coffee, I get it. I love that, too.
Yeah, we all, a little bit of manic behavior is fun.
It is fun.
I have to limit mine because I'm kind of born manic by nature.
Yeah.
So as much as I love it even more.
Yes.
But too much for me can be like a major crash later.
Yes, it can, and blood pressure and
mm-hmm.
all those sort of things have to be.
But right now I am drinking my coffee,
good.
Mindfully.
Yeah,
because I love it.
Mindful
yeah.
coffee. Yeah.
If you could give your younger self some advice, what would it be?
You're beautiful.
Mm.
Don't sweat it.
Seriously,
I spent so much time just like always doubting myself, always thinking I wasn't good enough, I wasn't pretty enough, I wasn't smart enough, you know, like I was fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I was perfect. Now I'm old and not so perfect, but you know, like, I was. We all, like, youth is beauty and youth is perfection and youth is like a glorious,
and it's amazing, it's shrouded with so much doubt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah I agree.
Yeah. It sure is helpful to hear these interviews because I would consider myself still in the youthful years, maybe the
yeah.
best. I'm just 31.
You are.
My mom says like
you're
the next
young.
10 years are like the best years, you know.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Health wise and
yeah.
everything.
My 31 to 42 for me were,
because of getting to do all these interviews and maybe everything's changing, I do feel I have a lucky awareness of that. So when a doubt does creep in, I just try to think about the things that I'm really lucky to have right now.
Yeah.
Like a body that can run a million miles if I want.
Yeah.
You know, I still can run on
yeah.
pretty little sleep. There's lots of things to be grateful for.
And you look great.
Jeez,
beautiful,
thank you.
Skin, glowing, your hair is gorgeous. Yeah.
Jeez, thanks. You
yeah.
can stay around.
Okay. Just grow up with that little kitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite quote that you follow?
Yeah.
Inspiration is for amateurs. The rest of us just show up and get to work. And that is Chuck Close.
Yeah.
Who
nice.
Is also a neighbor of mine,
oh.
interestingly. I live in NoHo, and I'm really, really, like, incredibly inspired by my neighborhood, by my neighbors. I just, like, I'm surrounded by amazing, amazing people who've, like, instilled this, like, I don't know, this, like, commitment to my environment, to the community, to the arts, to NoHo, you
yeah.
know?
I know, that's what I love about New York City is that there are neighborhoods, and you get to know your neighbors and
yeah.
the people that live in it, and you can go
yeah.
to your local restaurant or bar and sit down and just chat with people, and everyone will talk to you.
It's true.
Yeah.
And you can... At least, you know, and that was part of my inspiration for Vaughn, eventually, that, like, was an inspiration that grew when it was no longer, like, a sleepy cafe where I was sitting in the back writing, you know, detective stories. I wanted it to be, like a place for community to grow, for women to come and feel comfortable alone, to not be, like, a pickup scene. I don't know if you remember the 90s. I would never go to a bar. I would never go out
alone. Me neither.
No, of course not. Vaughn, in 96, when we opened, you started to have women coming out, and they felt safe. I don't know if it was me or if it was me in conjunction with the people I worked with. It was really important to us, and it's lasted. Like, you'll go in on a Monday, Tuesday night. It's predominantly women, often. not always. But, and they feel safe, and they're happy. And I think maybe that whole paradigm is sort of a part of the past now, that whole, like, horrible, awful, constant, continual, like, pickup scene, which can be fun.
Yeah.
Like, let's not, you know.
Yeah.
But it's fun when you want to be a part of it.
Yes.
It's no fun when you don't.
Definitely.
Right. Yeah.
I can't wait to go.
Yeah, come.
I'm excited.
Come anytime.
Yeah.
Come Monday or Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay, or Wednesday.
It's just a little less people, or?
Well, no, it's, I'm not saying, like, that there's not an amorous kind of feel at Vaughn. In fact, many people that I meet have told me that they met there and are now still together or married. And
there you go.
Who met at Vaughn?
I'm going.
And have two children.
Right.
Yes. And I have a joke that in the 90s, Vaughn was your Tinder.
Right.
Because it was. But, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit safer than other places were back in the day.
That's great. Where is Vaughn Bar located?
3 Bleecker Street.
3 Bleecker
Street.
Bleecker
and Bowery.
Great.
Right in the corner. Yeah.
I cannot wait. I'm really excited.
Cool.
Once my schedule dies in about a week or so, I'll be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you there all the time? Or
never,
you,
no. I'm not there at night
okay.
anymore because I'm too old. Because I go in and people are like, oh, leave my bartenders.
Oh.
Because I'm like, everyone is so young. They should go home. They shouldn't be drinking, you know. So I'm bad for business.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm there during the day.
Okay. Right. That's so cool.
Yeah.
But you're also, you said you're just joined the WE.
Yeah, I'm a
WE
mentor
program.
For WE NYC, which is really cool. It's the Women Entrepreneurs. It's a sort of a branch of the Small Business Services or somehow affiliated with Small Business Services.
For New York City.
Through the city of New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, turns out, the city has so many resources for small businesses, and particularly for women and minorities who want to launch their own business.
We have a rapid-fire question.
Oh, my God, this is fun.
You have a rapid-fire series of questions. So you don't think, just answer. Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Go.
Cats or dogs?
Both.
Paper or plastic?
Oh, paper.
Money or free time?
Free time.
Nature or nurture?
Oh, nature.
Meat or veggies?
Veggies.
Coffee or wine?
Coffee.
Rich and bored or employed and tired?
Oh, okay. Tired, bored, employed.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I can't do the either or because, yeah.
Yep.
Sorry.
When do you feel the most energy, morning, afternoon, or evening?
Evening.
Me too.
4 p.m. I wake up. I'm all like, oh, I'm awake now.
Yeah. I'm the opposite.
Do you believe in love at first sight?
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go.
You really do?
Of course.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, especially like.
I want to.
With my little dog. So I saw him and I was like, that's my little dog.
Yeah, totally.
You know.
Yes, you feel it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Or like a baby. You know, you have your baby. You're like, this is, yes.
That's why
sure.
These dating apps are no good. That's why we need to go to Vaughn Bar and meet someone in person.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
That's right.
Woohoo. Thank you so
That's
much.
Fun.
That was
yeah.
so much fun.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, my
That's
God.
It.
Thank you for listening to The Curvy Pod. Let's continue living above the curve.